Good morning and welcome to Four Bush Baptist Church. We're really thrilled that all of you are here and just thank you for coming. And I want us to look over our, you can check all of your announcements in the bulletin, but one that I'm especially happy about is the Lottie Moon Christmas offering. And the presentation we had last week brought back a lot of memories for myself. And I was thinking about my mom and Tim's mother. Well, they were members of WMU years ago, and I got to attend some of those meetings as a child. And they, back years ago, they really had a heart for this ministry, and it does touch a lot of lives. And a big thank you for this Thanksgiving offering for the Baptist Children's Home. That is beyond wonderful. It is so good. And you notice our WMU will meet tomorrow in the at 12 noon in the conference room. And the Carolyn, the kids are still going and youth are still going and still turning names to Tammy and Jessica. If you know someone that you'd like to receive a song message, maybe they might not can do it in person, but it may be a phone call. And I encourage each of us to call our members that are not able to come. A phone call means so much to everyone. So let's just remember that. And so let us go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the opportunity and the privilege that we have to come to our beautiful church building. I know the building is not the church, but it is wonderful to be able to gather here and praise your name and be together, at least see each other. It helps so much. And be especially in prayer for Justin, Pastor Justin, and his family while they're in quarantine. And thank you again for the special offerings that we've received and will continue to receive in the days ahead. And please be in prayer for the Gary Henderson family. This is Tim Henderson's brother. He passed away this week, and it's also our cousin. And be in prayer for them and for us. And thank you for this day and the many blessings that we have every day. In your name we pray. Amen. And then I think we're going to have the lighting of the second candle of the Advent wreath. Kay and Matthew.
Reminds us that Jesus Christ came to reconcile believers to God. As our Savior, Jesus makes peace between us and God by restoring the relationship that was broken by sin. In Isaiah 9:6, it says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace."
Father, we light this candle to thank you for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace. We who were once lost in sin have found peace with you through Jesus Christ. We give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you for the ability to be able to work and to be able to save and to support your ministry. May this goods that are collected today go to uplift in your kingdom. Amen.
forgotten ere the worlds began to be. He is Alpha and Omega, He the source, the ending be of the things that are, that happen, and that future years shall see. Ever and forevermore.
Kiddos, it's only mine here today. All right, so young and old kiddos, what do I have with me today? Counts down the has days on it.
Calendar.
Okay, does anybody know how many days till Christmas? I know somebody's counting. Okay, I knew somebody was counting in this room. All right, 19 days till Christmas. We're counting it down at our house. All right. Well, adults, are we prepared for Christmas?
No.
Okay, me either, Kathy. I'm with you. We're going to be honest, all right? So we have 19 days for Christmas, and I guarantee all of us adults are rushing around trying to get wrapped presents and get them wrapped and the baking and the cards and everything else done. But I want us to stop and think about of another way that we should be preparing for Christmas. In Luke 3, 4 through 6, it says, "As is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, a voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. Every valley shall be filled in, every mountain and hill made low. The crooked road shall become straight, and rough ways smooth, and all mankind will see God's salvation." Well, a lot of what this is talking about was before Christmas, many, many years ago, before Jesus was born, John the Baptist was going around telling people, Henley Poindexter, to be preparing the way for the Lord. He was telling them, get ready. The Lord, the Messiah, is coming. And what that really meant was that they should be getting their hearts right. And I think that's a message for us young and old, that as we prepare our homes and our cards and the presents under that tree, we need to make sure that we're slowing down and that we're preparing our hearts, because Christmas isn't about the presents and the lights. It's about the fact that Jesus came to save us. So I hope that in the hustle and bustle of the next 19 days, that we adults especially make sure we're not just preparing our homes, but that we're preparing our heart for the most important part of Christmas and the birth of that Savior. God loves you, and so do we. Oh, I'm supposed to do something else. Okay, so I got nominated to introduce Dennis, and I asked him what to say, and he didn't help me out any. So, I met Dennis several years ago when he was pastor at Huntsville Baptist, and he's become a good family friend of ours. And currently he's serving as the director of Yadkin Baptist Association, and all I'm going to end with is how my kids know him as the Chili Man, because they think he makes the best chili. So we have the Chili Man with us today to bring God's Word. So Chili Man, come on up.
What an introduction. Good morning. It's good to see each of you here, and those that are visiting by Facebook, and then also those that are out in the parking lot. Glad you're with us this morning. I want to just share a little something with you. I've never had the chance to start at 10 and have y'all out by 12. Is that all right? William said he'd leave early and I could cut the lights off if I stayed till 12. But I was just going to share with you something about gifts. The other night we had our Yankton Baptist Association ministers and wives Christmas party. And of course we were spaced out and 6 feet and wore masks and that kind of thing. But one of the ministers got me a gift. And he said he and his wife were over at a thrift store. And they saw this and they thought of me. And they had it all nicely wrapped in a nice pretty bow ribbon on it and everything. So I opened it up. And you know, sometimes when you get a gift, you say to people, you shouldn't have. They shouldn't have. they spent, well, okay. Well, on the outside, Macklin, you can see it says, Ball-Headed Man's Delight, one of the greatest inventions in the 20th century. Then I opened it up, and it's a pocket comb for a bald-headed man. You just comb right here like that. That was worth every bit of that 25 cents they paid on that. They shouldn't have. They really shouldn't have. But anyway, I thought I would share that blessing with you today. It is good to be with you as we come together for worship. And I know these last 9-10 months have been different, haven't they? And everything that we've been doing or accustomed to doing, things have just been different. And I say to our pastors as they've called me and said, well, how should we do? What can we do? And I say, well, God has made available different avenues that we can reach people with the gospel. Of course, when we were allowed to come back into the sanctuary, some out in the parking lot listening by radio, and that we didn't think about that last year, did we, a year before? And then by Facebook and other means. So the message is still the same. We're just getting it out in different ways, okay? I've got two passages of Scripture to share with you this morning. Both of them come from the New Testament. The first one is in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 1, beginning with verse 18, down to verse 25. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, or in this manner. When, as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, was not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take upon thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted, God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not until she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he named his name Jesus. Then we go over to Luke's Gospel, Luke chapter 1, and we'll be reading verses 26 through 41. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto the city of Galilee, named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou hast conceived in thy womb, and will bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and he shall be called Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing that I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest will overshadow thee. Therefore also the holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she also conceived a son in her old age, and that is in the sixth month with her, which was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaiden of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. And Mary arose in those days and went to the hill country with haste to the city of Judah, and entered to the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe in her womb leaped, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. All right, we have two accounts here of the beginnings of what we know as the birth of Jesus. Now, my daughter here, she'll probably tell you in just a minute, she'll blurt out the exact episode and what number program it was. But how many of you remember years ago, I Love Lucy show? Anybody remember I Love Lucy? Well, on a particular episode of I Love Lucy, Lucille Ball herself was actually going to have a child, her first child. And on this episode of I Love Lucy, she finds out, you know, she's going to have a baby, and she calls down to the club where Ricky works. And she tells them that night she wants them to set up tables, and she wants Ricky to congratulate a couple that's going to be there that night on the birth of their firstborn child. And so that night, Lucy goes down, and she's sitting there to the front in a table by herself. Ricky comes out, and he does the program. And then at the end, he says, I hear news that a couple out here is going to have a baby. And so he begins to sing a song, and he'd walk around to this table, and there'd be a man and woman there, and he'd look at the lady, and she'd go, shake her head no. And so then he'd go over to the next table, and he would look at the lady, and she'd shake her head no. He walked by Lucy and smiled, and he went on to the next table. And the lady and the gentleman were sitting there, and the lady shook her head no. And he did that till he went around to every table, and nobody acknowledged that they were going to have a baby. And he's kind of scratching his head, and so he says, I was told that somebody here was going to have a baby, and nobody here says that they're having a baby. And then he looks back at Lucy, and she goes, shakes her head yes. And he sings a song, My Baby is Having a Baby. Now, we remember that, don't we? Now, there's something about finding out when you're going to have your first child. Now, the first child is special. You know, you go to all these extremes. Now, if you don't believe me, you go back, those of you that are parents, and you look through your baby book or look through your photos. Let's say you have two children or three. You take hundreds upon hundreds and hundreds of pictures of that first child. From the day of birth till they graduate and get married, you got hundreds of pictures, and particularly when they're in their younger years, picture after picture after picture after picture. The second child comes along, you take a few pictures, and by the third child, it's just a memory. You don't even, you know, you don't take any pictures hardly at all, okay? But there's something about that first child. And particularly those of you that are grandparents, your first grandchild. You know, can you bring the grandchild over and stay for the weekend? We don't necessarily want to see you. We want to see the grandchild, right? There's something about a baby. And I was thinking about that in this passage of Scripture, thinking about God and how excited God was to say, we're going to have a baby here on this earth. Now, why did God plan it that way? All the other ways that God had asked man and woman to ask for forgiveness of sin and to live, they would mess it up. You know, the sacrifice system, it became corrupt and what have you. And so God said, I'm going to send my son. And we just read the two passages of Scripture that talk about God sending his son. What I hope you noticed,
and go back maybe this week and read those two passages again. There was something I found in those passages. I am told that in the scriptures, there's about 366 times. I haven't counted them personally, but that's what I've read. 366 times in the scriptures, from Genesis to Revelation, it says in certain passages, fear not, which means don't be afraid, okay? Now, that's one for every day of the year and one in there for the leap year. Don't be afraid. We hear something and we become afraid, don't we? Now, in both of these passages, we find that the angel of the Lord first visited Mary in person and visited Joseph in a dream. And in each instance, the words were, fear not, or don't be troubled, don't be afraid. Now, I find that to be ironic. Now, why is that? We read in the scriptures, these two passages, that Mary is engaged, if you will, to Joseph. You know, she's engaged. They're going to get married. Maybe they've set a wedding date. But the scriptures tell us that before they are married, Mary is with child. Now, you know that's got to cause some buzz in the neighborhood. Here's Mary and Joseph engaged, and she's going to have a baby. Now, what kind of talk you think went through the community? Well, I want to share with you, let's look at Mary there in the passage in Luke. What events took place? What happened when the angel visited? So we go back to Luke's Gospel, chapter 1. Gabriel visits. You know, Gabriel comes and talks with Mary. And somewhere along in there, she says, what kind of salutation is this? You know, what kind of visit is this? I've never had a visit from an angel before. Now, I remember some years ago, there was a television program on Touched by an Angel. Y'all remember that one? And at the end, the persons would reveal that they were an angel. God had sent them. Well, Mary is kind of perplexed, you know. Okay, I've never had an angel visit me like this before. But the angel comes and tells her about herself. Yes, I know that you are engaged to Joseph. You're going to get married. But God has a plan for you. You are highly favored. God has put his blessings upon you. God has chosen you for a particular task. And it says that you're going to have a baby. Okay, well, that's, you know, married couples along the way have children. But he says to her, in a sense, you're going to have a baby, but it's not going to be Joseph's baby. You're going to have a baby from God. God is going to overshadow you. God's going to come upon you through the presence of the Holy Spirit, and you shall conceive in your womb, and you're going to have a baby. Now, one of the things that parents, when they, or soon-to-be parents, when they plan, hear the plans of a baby, there are several things that go through their mind, okay? Now, we know that today we have all these new modern mechanisms. Back when Marcia and I were expecting our first and only child, Emily, we didn't know if Emily was going to be a he or a she until the day of appearance, okay? Now, back in that day, that was in the 89-90 period. Since then, we've had so many progressions of things, you know, with the ultrasounds and all this. And so people now have gender reveal parties before the baby's born. You know, they'll go in. The other day I saw where they had a big balloon, and the little boy was going to have the parents are going to have another child. So big brother here, he gets some darts and he gets to throw them at the balloons. And one of those balloons is going to have a color inside, pink or blue, to let everybody know if mom and daddy's going to have a boy or a girl. Well, you think about that. Then you go to the grocery store, you go to a bookstore, and there'll be books 2 or 3 inches thick on baby names. And you go looking through their baby names. I remember when we were... We had a boy's name and a girl's name for our child. And so somehow I made the mistake of telling some of my family what those names were going to be. If it was a boy, we would name him this. If she was a girl, we'd name her that. You mean you're not going to name her? Blah, 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 blah. Oh, you're not going to name her after so-and-so? You're not going. So my wife and I just scratched everything, tore that piece of paper, and we went back, and we thought of some new names. And we didn't tell nobody until Emily was born. Okay. But you think about names, books this thick about the names that you can have for children, boy names and girl names. Now, the birth date, you know, the doctor will give you an estimation of when the child will be born. Oh, the baby's due on such and such a date. Now, all that's modern technology, okay? And we say, wow. Look how far we've come with our technology systems. Nothing. You know how they say nothing's new under the sun? I read in these passages of Scripture, and you know what it tells me? God told Mary she was going to have a boy. So there's the gender already revealed, and she's not even with child yet. You're going to have a boy. And you're going to name him, that's the second thing, you're going to name him Jesus. Now, the birth date, we all know that's Christmas morning, wasn't it? Jesus is going to be born, and then we're going to call that his earthly birthday. That he came here to this earth, and we celebrate it as Christmas morning. Well, Mary's kind of perplexed by these things. She's overwhelmed. She's just a young girl, young teenage girl, and she's going to get married, and all this is coming upon her, and she's perplexed. She's troubled. But the angel says to her, "Do not be afraid." You know, when we go through things in life that we haven't been through before, God is with us, and he tells us not to be afraid. For I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Whatever we go through, God is there. So Mary has found favor with God. And she's going to have a baby. And it says that his name shall be called Jesus, Son of the Highest. He's going to be the Son of the Most High. And he's from the throne of Jacob. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. You know, in Isaiah, it tells us a little bit when Isaiah talks about the names of Jesus. Well, there'll be no end to his kingdom. And God is going to do this by the presence of the Holy Spirit. You remember when Jesus, we're going to fast forward a little bit, when Jesus ascended into the heavens after his resurrection, he said the Holy Spirit will be here to be your comforter, to be your guide in my absence. And here the Holy Spirit has a role in the birth of Jesus. And God will take care of this by the Holy Spirit. He says to Mary, "So Mary, do not be afraid." Now as you read on down through the passages, it says that after she visits Elizabeth and on down, it uses this word, "And Mary pondered these things in her heart." Now the word pondered means to think about. You know, she would sit and think, "Now, I don't understand all of this, but I know God's in charge. I know God is in control. So I might be a little concerned, but I'm not worried." Okay? And that's where God wants us to be. We may not understand his plan for our life. And it might concern us just a little bit, but we don't need to be worried because God is in control. And Mary came to that fact. As she thought about all the things, of all the women in the whole world, God chose Mary. And she found favor in his sight. Now, as I read through the passage of Scripture, it's interesting to me that as Mary learns of the good news that has come to her by Gabriel, she immediately goes, as the angel said to her. Now, if you'll remember your cousin Elizabeth, it says there in verse 36, she has conceived a son in her old age. Now, I don't know what that age is. I don't know when you start saying old. Okay. Now, when I was 49 and a half, I started getting things in the mail from AARP. I said, "I don't need this stuff. I ain't old." But you know what? When you hit 50, or just before your 50th birthday, they start sending you that stuff. So I don't know what old is, but I have gotten to the point that if they ask me if I want a senior discount, I say, what? And I get it. I don't know how old is. But scriptures tell us that Elizabeth was in her advanced age. She had been barren for many years, and God had granted her the request of her heart, and she was now with child. It says, I think it's 6 months into this, in verse 36, it tells us. So God wanted to say to Mary, your cousin Elizabeth is advanced in age, and she's going to have a baby, and you're young. This is going to be your first baby. Because she asked the angel, or said to the angel, I don't know, okay, how can I have a child? I'm not married. I haven't had relations with a man. So how am I going to have a child? And that's where he explained the Holy Spirit. But it says in verse 37, for with God nothing shall be impossible. I'm told there's a certain electrician in Yakin County, and when he's called upon and somebody wants something done, it's going to be a hard job to do, okay? It's going to be a hard job to run the wires from here to there, to have a switch over here and a switch back there and a switch over here and this kind of thing. It's going to be a hard job. I have heard people say, all you have to say to this gentleman is, I don't think you can do it. And he's going to work and work and work to show you that it can be done. So people have come to this conclusion, just tell him he can't do it, and he will do it for you. And you think about what's going on in this situation. How's this going to happen, Mary says. And the angel says, don't worry. God's got this. God will take care of this. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. And then right after that, she says, okay, count me in. And she leaves to go visit her cousin Elizabeth. And when she goes to Elizabeth to tell Elizabeth that she's going to have a baby, Elizabeth's already in her 6th month. It says that the babe in Elizabeth's womb jumps for joy at the good news. So the babe in Elizabeth's womb jumps for joy, was filled with the Holy Ghost, and rejoiced in that announcement. Now we've talked a lot about Mary. Now what about Joseph? Now we go back to Matthew's gospel. And so God has taken care of this as well. In a dream, an angel comes to Joseph because Joseph has had this thought. He's a just man. He wants to do what's right. He knows that there's probably some talk going on in the community. Everybody's, have you heard? Did you hear about Mary going to have a child? And they're not even married yet. Have you heard that? The talk that's going on. And so he intends to break the engagement privately. Not to make a cause a big scene out in public or anything. He's just going to break off the engagement. And hopefully the talk will kind of cease. And so having known that, it tells us there in Matthew's gospel that an angel comes to Joseph. In verse 20, angel Lord appeared to him in a dream, and he says, you're going to be a daddy. It's not going to be your child. It's going to be God's child. But you're going to take that child as your own and treat that child as your child. You're going to help raise that child. Now, we have a word for that. It's called adoption. Okay? Adoption. Now, you think about this real carefully. Every one of us, if we are a child of God, we are adopted. God only had one child, one son, and they called his name Jesus. But when we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we come into the family of faith. And we are the sons and daughters of God. We're adopted into his family. What that means is he treats us like we are his very own. And so the angel says to Joseph, you're going to be a daddy. Mary is with child because of the Holy Spirit. This is God's plan. and his name shall be called Jesus. So, a son, and he already has a name before he's ever born. Because Jesus will save his people from their sins. That's why Jesus came. Now, this intertestament period between the Old Testament and the New Testament, approximately 400 years, 400 years of silence, as many will say. And Jesus is coming. God is going to send his son, as prophesied in the Old Testament. And the people begin to say, it's not going to happen. God has forgotten his promise. God has forgotten what he said he was going to do. Folks, I want to tell you, God does not forget. There's only one thing that I'm thankful today that God does forget: our sins. It says that when he forgets our sins, as far as the east is from the west, and to the depths of the sea, they're cast to be remembered no more. But people during that intertestament period, Old Testament to the New Testament, they began to doubt. They began to say, well, God's not going to send his son. He's forgotten. He's not going to do it. And so that's why when you come down to verse 23, when the angel is speaking to Joseph, he gives a second name that Jesus is going to be known by. Now, Herbert Gephardt wrote a book many, many years ago. It's about this thick, about 2 inches thick, and it has 366 names that's in the scripture that Jesus is referred to. Alpha, Omega, Lord, Redeemer, Savior, Shepherd, on down the list. Here is one that is shared with us in verse 23 of Matthew chapter 1, which is a fulfillment of Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. Now, folks, we live in such a world that people say over and over that the Bible contradicts itself. The Bible says one thing here, and it says something else over here. It contradicts. No, the Bible does not contradict. The Bible complements. So that's why this passage is here. Isaiah 7:14 from the Old Testament to the New Testament, Matthew chapter 1, verse 23. This is why the angel includes this in here in talking to Joseph. Says that in Isaiah, it says, behold, a virgin shall be with child, shall bring forth a son, and here his name shall be named or called Emmanuel, God with us. That's why that's put right there, because the people had become skeptical that God had forgotten that he had promised a son. And that's why here in the first book, first chapter of the New Testament, we're reminded God is with us. God has not forgotten. And so the angel meets and shares that scripture. Joseph then awoke from his dream. And the good news is that it says that he did as the angel instructed him to do. He changed his plans. He's not going to break up with Mary. There's not going to be a separation, an end of that engagement. But rather, it says that he did as the angel instructed. You know, we live in uncertain times, don't we? We sure do. We don't know what tomorrow holds. We have so many things coming on the news of restrictions and things concerning a virus and various things. There's always, as the scripture says, wars and rumors of wars and all these things. And I'm reminded, you know, Johnny Cash and June Carter family, they became known for a song that they sang many years ago, Will the Circle Be Unbroken? You know, and I think about what's going on in our world, and, you know, I'm perplexed a lot of times. I'm concerned, what else can happen? And I say, Lord, when are you coming back? All the signs are here. The signs are here. Lord, when are you coming back? We don't know when. We don't know the day. We don't know the hour. But we know that it's going to happen. But I'm also reminded of that song forgot who sang this one, but there's a song that says, "Wait a little longer, sweet Jesus." Because we want to get our friends, family, and loved ones into the family of God. That's the only reason why he tarries the second time. Jesus is coming here the first time to set the example for us. Mary and Joseph are his earthly parents. They've never been parents before. But I'm reminded of the scripture that tells us in the Old Testament, words that we hear every day that we can give to new parents. It says, "Train up your children in the ways of the Lord, and they'll not depart from it." And I think they might have used that as an example as they were raising Jesus. You know, Jesus, you know, did this things that normal children would do. He became flesh, and so if he became flesh, he became one of us, of the human race. You know, he went through the same things. You know, he was hungry, you know, etc. And they raised him up. But at age 30, 33, he began to be about his father's business. Okay, age 12, he was in the temple teaching, so we already knew he knew more than some of the scholars. But as parents, this was new to them. But you see, Mary had favor with God. And Joseph had also been visited by an angel in a dream. God was going to watch over them, just as he watches over all parents. He watches over us, gives us wisdom and guidance and knowledge in raising our children. And that's what happened here in this passage. Now, what you'll notice is two things happened the same. First, they both were afraid. God took care of that. And the second thing, as we read the scripture, after the visit, both Mary and Joseph agreed or in agreement to do what God had instructed. You know, I've come to realize that God's ways are best. God knows more than I know. God's ways are best. And when God instructs us to do something, we may not understand it, but if we will follow it, we know that God will not lead us down a path of destruction. God will lead us down the right path. And so Mary and Joseph both agreed to what the angel of the Lord said for them to do. And then we know on Christmas morning, and you'll probably be hearing about this in the next couple of weeks as we continue in our Advent season, about what happened and the visitors that came, the shepherds and the wise men. And I just say that there's a reason shepherds came first and the wise men came later. That just tells us a little about who Jesus was. He came for the least among these, to those in prominence. Everybody in between, Jesus came for them. God with us, as the scripture says. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this time that we come together for worship. Father, we thank you for Forbush Baptist Church, for Pastor Justin, and for the leadership here. We pray, Father, that you'll continue to bless this church in these difficult days. Father, I pray that you would give them guidance and wisdom and understanding. As the congregation seeks to worship, Father, some are at home worshiping through Facebook, social media. Some are worshiping with us in the parking lot by way of radio. Some are here in the sanctuary. Some will probably look at this broadcast later today that couldn't this morning. But Father, I pray that as the message of Christ goes forth from this place, that people's hearts would be open and receptive. And Father, we realize that from this passage that you are our Heavenly Father, and that you are in control, and that you provide for us just as our earthly mother and fathers do. And we thank you for that, that you watch over us, you protect us, you guide us along life's journey. And so, Father, we want to give you thanks for that. Father, if there's one present that is listening to this service today that does not know Christ as Lord and Savior, I pray, Heavenly Father, that today they would ask you into their heart, that you would give their life purpose and meaning. for sins that are present, that you'll forgive them of those sins. Just as it says, the name of Jesus is the one who will save his people from their sins. Father, we have other concerns. We know that there's sickness all throughout our community, throughout our county, throughout our nation. Father, there is the physical sickness, and we hear the reports day in and day out, and we just pray for healing to take place. We know, Father, that there are many across our land that do not know Christ as Lord and Savior, so I pray that you would take that sin sickness away and allow them to feel what the forgiveness of sins is like through Christ. Father, for our concerns, we may have personal concerns. And so we ask, Father, as we lift those up to you, that you would give them careful attention. And, Father, that you would answer them in your own time and in your own way. And even in this pandemic, Father, we pray that you'll help us to share with people some good news. That all things are possible through Christ. For we pray this prayer in the name that is above every name, the name of Jesus. Amen. I'll be down here if you need to come and speak with me, if you just need to come to the altar during our time of invitation.
Let's all stand and sing together. Love divine, all loves excelling. Love divine, all loves excelling, joy of heaven to earth come down, fix in us thy